Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. It may surprise you, but it is nice to see you. I find it always a joy to look down upon you and to be able to share God's word with you. Returning to the Gospel of Luke and to that verse that we have been pondering this last assembly or two, Luke chapter 23, and it's the verse 34. You will remember that we're considering the sayings of the Lord Jesus on the cross. He spoke seven times, and they've all been recorded by the Holy Ghost as he moved men to write them down and record them for us to read and study and consider and be blessed by. We have in our studies of this particular verse, which says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We have considered some lessons regarding the forgiveness of sins that is here set forth in these words of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to take that matter a little further this morning, and we're going to consider particularly his words, "They know not what they do." They know not what they do. The Lord directed me this morning to the hymn that we sung, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not, my Lord was crucified. Knowing not, it was for me he died on the Calvary." Knowing not. Ignorance was not just something that afflicted those who crucified the Lord, but the ignorance they showed was but an example of the ignorance that affects all men, for by nature we're born without any awareness or knowledge of God and His truth. And we can only gain the knowledge of God as the Lord works in our heart. I read this morning, and just let me say this before I refer to the verse I'm thinking of that I read this morning. God's word is wonderfully interlinked, all bound up together. It's a bit like your body. If you hit that finger, well, maybe I should say, if I hit that finger, for I wouldn't let you hit that finger, but if I accidentally hit that finger, it affects all of me. My mouth reacts and shouts, "Oh!" Throughout me, there is a feeling of pain, and even my feet might go jumping about as a reaction of hurting my finger. Our bodies all interconnected, and so is the Word of God. Jeremiah never knew Peter. Peter never knew Jeremiah. But what they said and what all the other writers of the Bible said are all interlinked. All interlinked. And as I was about to tell you, I read this morning a well-known passage. One of the chapters I was reading, Acts chapter 16, where you are introduced to a very lovely lady, Lydia. And she listened to Paul preaching, and something happened. The Lord opened her heart, which means that her understanding were opened, and she saw and understood the gospel. And in response to what it was she now understood, she received the Lord Jesus as her Savior. But it struck me how what happened to her was linked exactly to the words of the Savior that we're looking at today. The men who crucified Christ, their eyes weren't open, their heart wasn't open. They were blind and ignorant as to what they were doing, as to who the Savior was. They didn't know. And that's what we sang about in our hymn, "Knowing not, it was for me he died on Calvary." So, I want to say a few things then about this fact that man is ignorant of God. "They know not what they do," the Savior said. "Forgive them, therefore." Now, we're going to think today about this truth. Ignorance is no excuse for sin. If a policeman stops you, say for speeding on the road, and you say to him, "Oh, I didn't know there was a speed limit here," he will say, "Ignorance is no excuse. There was a sign up the road that told you that you had just entered an area where there was a speed limit. So you can't say that I have to let you off because you didn't know." Ignorance is no excuse for doing wrong. That's a truth that rules our lives. And here we see it emphasized by the Lord Jesus. Father, forgive them. That means there was sin. For they know not what they do. They sinned and didn't realize it, but they still had sinned and needed forgiveness. That's the thought we're going to concentrate upon today in the will of the Lord. Let's notice first of all that the greatest of all sins was committed in ignorance. There never was a sin greater than that of crucifying the Lord Jesus. And it wasn't just the Jews back 2,000 years ago who crucified the Lord Jesus who were guilty of that act. Everyone in this world who hears the gospel and rejects it, they do exactly the same. They're guilty of crucifying the Lord. They share in that guilt. If you have heard the gospel but turned your back upon it, you are saying, away with him. We won't have this man. Crucify him. I don't want to hear his voice again. I don't want to be bothered by him. We're just as guilty as was the Jews. And this was done in ignorance. They didn't realize how great was their wrong. Now I have no doubt they had some awareness that what they were doing was not right. Even as they told lies about him, they knew what I'm saying is not true. But such was their wickedness and sinfulness that they took no heed to the voice of conscience that told them you're doing wrong. They took no heed of it because in ignorance they didn't realize the depth of the wickedness in which they were engaged. But despite not knowing the awfulness of their sin, they still needed forgiveness. They might not have known who Jesus was, but they still needed forgiveness for what they were doing. And boys and girls, I want you to learn. You'll not stand before God and say, Lord, I didn't know. That won't count. That won't count with God. It especially won't count with God for you, because you have heard the truth of God so many times. Then again, I want you to notice that they had no excuse for their ignorance. Ignorance, undoubtedly, governed their hearts and minds, but they shouldn't have been ignorant. And I say that because they had been most wonderfully told who Jesus was. Most wonderfully. I would say that the 3.5 years of the Savior's ministry emphasized who Jesus was in a fashion that we cannot fully understand. When he began his ministry, there came a voice from heaven. You recall that? It's in Luke chapter 3 in the verse 22. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now that was a wonderful witness. They were told by God the Father, whose voice was very rarely heard, but he spoke out on this occasion. And all who were gathered there, and there were many gathered there, for multitudes had gathered to be baptized of John the Baptist, and they all heard. And every one of them, on hearing it, would have repeated that when they went home. Repeated it to their family, repeated it to their neighbors, repeated it to those with whom they worked. So it would have spread out through the land that heaven had said that Jesus of Nazareth was God's beloved Son, in whom was no sin. How could you have an excuse after such a witness as that? But it didn't stop there. The Lord Jesus himself had repeatedly told them. Every town, every village he went to, he would have told them who he was. He would have preached the gospel unto them and presented himself as the Christ of God. A sample of what it is, he said, may be seen in Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and the verses 15 onward gives us an example of how the Savior would have declared who he was. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." That's an old word, meaning food. It was still in use when I was a boy. I can remember my grandfather using that term. And he used it because the Bible language was so much more evident amongst the people back then than it is now. Verse 16, "But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down upon the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full." So there were 12 baskets of bits and pieces left after the people had eaten, even though they started out with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. I feel that we can say there likely was about 15,000 people there. There would have been surely nearly as many women as men. In fact, the women following the Lord Jesus usually outnumbered the men. And boys and girls, well, there's a crowd. Why, they'll flock there, won't they? Especially if there's a bit of a picnic. So you can see there that the Lord Jesus gave a demonstration of who he was. He declared who he was by that wondrous miracle. And that was only one. In John chapter 20, at the end of that chapter, it says that there are many things he did that are not written in the Gospels. Because if all the things he did and said were to be written, you couldn't contain all the books that would be required to record such a thing. So the Savior declared by his works what it was he had come to do and who he was. The prophets of old had borne witness to the Savior. In John, we have the last, John's Gospel, that is, the chapter 1, the verse 29, we have the last of the prophets speaking. That's John the Baptist. He was the last of the prophets. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world." And he was but echoing what basically all the prophets have said. In Acts chapter 10, we have a declaration of this very truth. Acts chapter 10, the verse 38. And it's Peter saying, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God hath raised up the 3rd day and showed him openly." And then down to verse 43, "To him gave all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sin." They were ignorant. But of all the people in the world who had no excuse for that ignorance, it was the Jewish people, amongst whom there were given many, many indications of just who Jesus was. So, we have considered how the greatest of all sins was committed in ignorance. We have considered that there was no excuse for such ignorance, and their ignorance. This ignorance that there was amongst those who crucified the Lord Jesus was evidence of their great sinfulness. That they should be ignorant of who Jesus was indicated how great was their sinfulness. Their eyes looked upon him, their hands handled him, for they had taken him and held him as a prisoner. They had put him down on the cross and nailed him to it. They shouted at him. They would have heard him speak these words, yet they remained ignorant of who he was. That showed the greatness of their sins. They looked upon God's Son and didn't know who he was. Now let me tell you that I believe that the Lord Jesus was, amongst all of men, a most wonderful and a most striking person. When you looked into the face of Christ, you would have seen there what you would see in no one else. You would have seen gentleness, you would have seen love, you would have seen compassion. That could not be seen, even in the face of a mother or a father looking on their child. A face which naturally would be inclined to look with love upon that little one. Nevertheless, the look on the face of the father or the mother would not compare to the countenance of the Lord Jesus. Yet looking on him, they didn't recognize who he was. There's no greater example of the darkness that there is upon the souls of men than that which is given us in John chapter 9, where you have the record of the healing of the blind man. Blind from birth. He never had seen. And he was healed. And he didn't even see the Savior who healed him. That is a lesson. Out there in the world every day there are people who recover from sickness. And they don't know that it's God and his mercy that has brought it about. Oh, it may have happened in hospital. It may have happened under the care of a doctor. But it's God who did it. And they don't see that truth. Just like this blind man, the Lord, as we know, spat on the ground, made clay, and rubbed it on the eyes of the man. He said, go wash. And away he went, and he washed, and he saw. But until that moment, he had not seen the person who had healed him. He didn't know him. Proof of that is seen later on in the chapter, in the verse 35 of John 9. And the Lord Jesus there says to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? That's what religion is all about. Believing on the Son of God. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And the Savior is saying to this man, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord? He acknowledges, I don't know who he is, so I can't believe on him. Now remember, this man had just been wonderfully healed by the Lord Jesus. It was a miracle never heard of before. Someone who had been born blind, made to see. But he doesn't know who it was, did it? Who is he, Lord? He's looking into the face of the Son of God, who had wonderfully healed him. And he didn't know. He didn't know. There have been, on many occasions, presented to you, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus. Preachers in the pulpit and speakers here in the assembly have taken the arm of the Lord Jesus, as it were, brought him right up to the front and said, behold the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus has been introduced to you. Do you know him? Have you recognized him? Or are you like this man who said, who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord? He says, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Shows you the inclination of the man's heart. God's providential dealings with him had created in this man a longing to know Christ. But ignorance prevailed still. Even as he looks on the one he wanted to know, he didn't know he was looking on him. And the Lord Jesus said, listen to what he said. Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with you. Who is he, Lord? He's the one standing before you, talking to you. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And they worshipped him. His eyes were opened a second time. Oh, not these eyes in his face, but the eyes of his heart, of his understanding, are now opened. And he sees and knows who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. And he worshipped him. How sinful is the state of man, that he may know and experience every day the goodness and kindness of God and not know him. Just like this blind man. We need an introduction given us of God, like that which the man received when the Lord Jesus introduced himself. And the man's eyes were opened. That's what you need. That's what you need, what that man experienced. The last thing I want to say is this. Such ignorance as this must be repented of. You must repent of this ignorance. It's a sin. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What they've done, they did in ignorance, but Father, forgive them. Here's what Peter said in a wonderful sermon. Acts chapter 3, the verses 17 and 19. And now, brethren, I wot, or I know, that through ignorance ye did it, that is, crucify the Lord Jesus, as did also your rulers. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You did it in ignorance, Peter said, but a sin, still sin, and you need to be forgiven. And to be forgiven, you need to repent. And when you repent, your sins are blotted out, so that they can't be seen anymore. When you blot out something, you can't read what it says. And let me tell you, sins that are blotted out by the blood of Jesus, even God cannot see them. Do you hear me? Even God can't see sins that have been blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. Have your sins been blotted out? Are you covered in the blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, today, hasten to Christ if you're not yet saved. Please, hasten to Christ. Repent of your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus and be forgiven. And let's bow together, please, in prayer. And just ask the Lord for his blessing upon the school today. Lord, we thank thee for this opportunity once more of setting forth thy word, no matter how weakly and feebly, Lord, we have done so. But I pray that you'll bless the boys and the girls with understanding, with the opening of their eyes, that they may indeed behold the Lamb of God. Bless the school today, Lord. We thank thee for the children here, not safely here, despite the icy road. And I pray that you'll be with each one. Remember those unable to be here. May your healing touch be upon them. Bless us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.